as it is for children. And this week, there's a little bit longer verse than we had last week. You may already have the concept of the verse, and there's probably some here that already have the verse memorized, but I wanted us to read it before we jump back into the book of Genesis and we get into the thrust of our lesson this morning as we're following Joseph's life. We're reading together, and you read it out loud with me, if you would, from 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Now, as we read, don't read like this. You know, you can make something as uninteresting as possible, but make it have some life. We had the opportunity to take our grandkids to the circus this week. And I was sitting there watching all the stuff. You know, their eyes are huge and all that. And you know what I'm thinking? If it weren't for that music, this circus would be boring. The music and the sound effects set it. And we set how we memorize Scripture. And so if we're sluggish about it, then that's what the verse will be to us. So read it with some life and with some joy. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's read together. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good for this time of morning and a time change. Now, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about something that I have experienced in my life. Maybe you have experienced this as well. I think it was 1979 or 1980. We took a trip to South America to visit the whales. And we got to their house after getting to the airport. They picked us up at the airport. We went to their house. In the kitchen was this machine that was about 4 feet long, if I remember right, and probably 2 or 3 feet wide, took up a huge portion of their kitchen. And Mrs. Wells told us when we got there, she said, whatever you do, any water that you need needs to go through this machine. Whatever you do, it needs to go through this machine. So if you want to drink, don't drink out of the sink, get it out of this machine. If you need to brush your teeth, get the water out of this machine. I was an invincible teenager. And I said, phooey, I'm not going to go all the way down to the kitchen and get a cup or a bowl of water to go all the way upstairs and brush my teeth. That's senseless. And so I brushed my teeth out of this water from the sink. Probably got a drink out of the hose outside every now and then, too. Well, you know, when you come back into the States, you go through customs and you have to declare what you bring back with you. We came back out of Germany last year. I had brought back some dried salami for James. And the guy, when we got to customs, he said, what do you declare? I said, I declare I'm tired. And he said, no, what did you bring back? And so we had to tell him what we had. He said, you can't bring that in. Give it to me. Now, when we came back from South America, I brought something back I didn't know we had. I brought something back on the inside of me. I brought back what they call the amoeba. And an amoeba is a parasite. Let me try to visualize. There is a program. I've never seen it. I've just seen the commercial. I don't have the stomach to watch it. It's called Monsters Inside of Me. And it shows what these parasites do. And it's a red screen, and I don't know if that's your colon or what, but this thing is coming up with its mouth, and it has these teeth. It's horrible looking. Well, that's basically what I'm talking to you about. You can go home and say, boy, we had a discussion in Sunday school on parasites. People will think you're from the most spiritual church in the world. Well, we came back, and I had this amoeba in me, and I did not know it. And the parasite attaches itself to you. Now understand, the goal of the parasite is not to kill you. Because if you die, it dies. But the parasite lives off of you. That was in, I guess, June or July that we went to South America. We came back. We got started with the school year. This thing's living inside me and I don't even know it. It came about October or November, and I started getting ill. This thing was living through me, and long story short, I missed 21 days of school that year Debbie Chenault was my bookkeeping teacher, and she was bringing work to the hospital, St. Mary's, and she would go over my lessons. Let me tell you this. That's absurd. Nobody in the hospital feels like doing homework. But I was so far behind. We were trying to get everything caught back up and all of this. So I'm in and out of the hospital. I remember getting out of the hospital, and then a day or two later, I said, okay, I'm going to go to school today. And I get up to go to school, and I would get violently ill again. They could not figure out what was wrong. Now, the rest of the story I'll tell you later. I am over it. But the truth is, the parasite lives off of you and takes your energy, it takes your health, and it takes your life, but it wants you to live. Now, we're looking at, and our memory verse had a word in it this morning that is the thrust of our lesson, and that is this word, temptation. Temptation. There is no temptation taking you such as common to man. What I'd like for you to lead Sunday school with this morning is when you think of the word temptation, I want you to see that parasite on that commercial. Because temptation's desire is not to kill you, but to live off of you and live through you. The reality of it is this, though. They discovered what was wrong with me at a very crucial time. A foreign doctor stepped up and said, I'll take the case since American doctors have not figured it out. And one of the first questions that he asked my parents is, have you traveled outside the United States? Yes, we have. I know what's wrong with it. Boy, I'd like to have gotten him a lot sooner. And he said, here's a prescription. He takes one of these a day for the next, I think it was 10 days. I think those pills were that big. Very expensive medication, even then. After 2 days of being on those pills, I already was in recovery mode. The truth is, if the parasite and the amoeba had been left unattended, no attention paid to it, and it hadn't been killed, it would have eventually taken my life. Our missionaries understand. Now, listen to this. Temptation, its desire is to live off of you, but for you to live. That's why Satan does it the way he is. Satan doesn't want to kill you. He wants to ruin you. He wants to leave you an invalid. He wants, and I'm not speaking about physically, he wants you to be spiritually an invalid. He wants you to be anemic. He wants you to be a picture of what sin is. Now, we know that there's pleasure in sin for seasons. Temptation lives off of you, but if left unchecked, that temptation then will eventually take the life. So we're looking at today, lesson 4 in the Scripture. We're looking at defeating temptation. And Joseph gives us some ways to do that. I want us to look, if we can, one of the many positive lessons that we can learn from Joseph's life is that temptation doesn't have to derail us or to damage our testimony before the Lord. Let's read together. Find your place, if you would, in the book of Genesis chapter 39. You'll notice our booklet has a lot of the chapter there. For sake of our time, let's pull out just a few verses with this morning. Look at verse number 2, if you would, please. And the Lord was with Joseph. Now, if you follow through this chapter, read it this week and circle the number of times that it said the Lord is with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And we covered this last week. As he was purchased by Potiphar, pulled into Potiphar's home, he was set up as a ruler over what Potiphar had. And listen, the Scripture says that Potiphar benefited from Joseph being in his house. Let's bring that to today. This world, as nasty as it is, as bad as it is, could benefit and will benefit and does benefit by the Christians who live in this world if we keep ourselves from the temptation. Now, if you would, you can read on down through a multitude of the verses that are here. Verse number 11, if you would, with me. Verse number 11, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. He's going in to handle the affairs of Potiphar. And we find out that Potiphar's wife had cast her eyes on Joseph and was flirting with Joseph, was trying to develop this thing into something. She is becoming that temptation that wants to live through Joseph. She is trying to attach herself. Now, I want you to look in your scripture, and it says this, that she did it day by day. Every day. Now, we just read the verse that said he was doing his business. He was doing his work. He was doing what Potiphar had assigned for him to, his responsibilities. And in doing that responsibility, every day the temptation was there. You could, if you wanted to, in Joseph's mind, you could justify somewhat giving in to the temptation. What do you mean, preacher? Joseph could have said, well, God hadn't been with me. God let me be sold. I'm separated from my father, put into slavery here. Had to go through the nation of the Ishmaelites to get to this place. God hadn't been looking out for me. It's time I live not for God, but it's time I live for myself. You see, when that temptation is there day by day, that also becomes the temptation. Verse number 12, and she caught him by his garment on this particular day. And she said, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand. He left that coat, that cloak. Boy, he has a hard time hanging on to that. There's first a coat of many colors, and now whatever coat or cloak he has here, he leaves it. And we look at verse 13. It came to pass when she saw that he had left the garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called out unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. And she begins to derail Joseph in front of all of those who were under him and working for him. The false accusation was placed. Potiphar is brought in. She testifies her false testimony against Joseph before Potiphar. And it says that he became angry. I find this interesting. Why didn't he kill Joseph? Exactly. You know my thought? My thought is this. Not good grammar. This ain't the first time. Something in Potiphar's mind saved Joseph. We don't know word for word what it is, but by law, Joseph should have died. Now, God had different plans for him. We know that it's God's grace and God's reason, but Potiphar in his mind had some reason why he didn't put Joseph to death. We're stabbing at what that reason might be. Now, we need to look together, move together with this morning. Notice number one about temptation. It is deceitful. Temptation is deceitful. Do you remember a man in the Old Testament whose name meant deceit or trickster? And if you do, say it out loud. Jacob. Jacob was what relationship to Joseph? His grandfather. So here we go with deceit. This is something that had run toward the family. Deceit, by definition, means dishonest in behavior, or behavior that is meant to trick or to fool. Don't have time to chase the rabbit back with it, but do you remember everything that Jacob did to deceive? That's what temptation is. Where does temptation take us? Where does it come from? Understand, the scripture tells us this, as I believe it was James wrote to us. He tells us that we're not tempted of God, for God doesn't tempt people. We're tempted and drawn away of our own lust. And so we see, first of all, that temptation is deceitful. And being deceitful, it tells us lies. Who does the Bible say is the father of lies? Tell me, please. Satan. Satan is the father of lies, and he's going to lie to us, so that temptation attaches to us and it will live off of us. The first one is this. Here's the first lie. It's okay to just look. Do you realize this? Satan has not changed his mode of operation in all these years. Where did the sin of Adam and Eve start? And when she saw that it was good for food. Where did the sin of David start? Now, we know that it starts in the heart, but I'm talking about in a physical way. Where did it start? When David was on the roof that night. Not wrong for him to be on that roof. Now, you find me on my roof, there's something wrong. Their roofs were different. It would be like our back porch. Wasn't wrong for him to be there, but then he saw. What was Samson's problem? Even before his sin with the women that the Scripture talks about. Remember his vow? And in the vow, you remember where he killed a lion? Was it wrong for him to kill a lion to save himself? Well, the people against the ethical treatment of animals may argue, you should not kill that. Remember the dentist, I think it was, that killed that lion here a while back? That's a different story for a different day. It's not wrong for Samson to kill the lion. Where did it become wrong? You go just a little bit forward. It says, on the way back, he turned aside to see. You ever notice, watch this, you'll do it today. You ever see a dead animal on the road? Watch the person in front of you when you pass a dead animal on the road. Watch their brake lights come on. Instinctively, you go by. I catch myself doing this. I'm not going to look. 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 Samson turns aside to see the dead lion. Part of the vow was not to be around that which was dead. The temptation lie is, it's okay to look. Boy, hasn't America swallowed that one up? It's okay to look. Let's look. Temptation is deceitful. Lie too. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. The world tends to water down sin. Have we noticed that before? We have renamed sin. Just about every sin that you can think of. You remember when they used to call a person that drank too much? Remember they called him a drunk? That doesn't sound very good. Let's change it. He's an alcoholic. Used to be when a person sinned, a moral sin, they were called a sodomite. Well, that's not a very kind word. So let's rename it. If we put a new name on it. If we just put a new name on it, it makes it better. We could go through tons of things this morning where temptation said it's not that bad. Temptation is deceitful. Lie three. It's only one time. It's only one time. Potiphar's wife didn't just tempt Joseph once and leave him alone. But it was time after time after time after time, day after day after day after day. Now let's. I want to mention something before we get too much further with that lie one. That lie one, you're just looking and it's okay. Do you realize this? Business in America is based on you looking. That's why in a 30-minute television program, you see about 19 minutes of program, and the rest of it is commercials. My wife and I enjoy watching Wheel of Fortune. And you know, Wheel of Fortune isn't the same. When the grandkids are over, we watch Sprout. Some of it. You know what I've noticed? The commercials are totally different. What they want you to see. Because see, if I'm watching Wheel of Fortune, some of you know this to be true. If you're watching Wheel of Fortune, every medicine in the world is advertised on there. And every lawyer to sue the people who make that medication is advertised on there. Why is that? Because there's a target audience that they want to see what they're doing. Now, we cut it over to a cartoon. They're advertising Lucky Charms. And they're advertising toys. Why? Because there's a target. It wants you to see. So the lie is, it's okay to see. The lie is also the fact that it's just one time. Think over and over the illustrations that I've used when working with the teenagers of when just one time giving in to temptation totally changes a life. I remember an issue with a teenager I was working with who I could not get the parents involved in church. They knew it, but they kept the weekend for themselves. Until the boy got into using heroin. Supposedly, the first time he used it. I can't swear that it was the first time that he had. But supposedly the first time that he used it. Listen to me now. I'm not saying this degrading or anything. I just don't know how to describe it any other way. It blew his mind. And I don't mean to a good sense. I mean, so much was taken in that it destroyed his ability to cognitively think. And to this day, his parents have been very successful, and I'm glad they have because they've been able to take care of him. But to this day, I will see them out, and it's mom and dad. And this boy was 16 years old when I started working with him. And now that's been longer than I care to remember. But I see them now in the mall or the store occasionally. It has to be the store because I don't do the mall. You know that. And mom and dad are on either side of him. And his mind was destroyed. Because something, it's just once. It's just once. We have a long way to go. Let's look at the next if we can. Temptation is deceitful. Lie four. No one will ever know. No one will ever know. Now I want to tell you, here's the second part to that lie. The devil will tell you, you can do this and no one will ever know. You're sent out of town to a business trip. You're sitting around the table with the other office workers. Who are all having their wine or cocktail with their dinner. No one else from home and your children and your wife and your preacher isn't sitting at the table with you. And this will be okay. No one will ever know. And then you drink that. And then let me tell you what the devil says. Immediately he'll say, everybody is going to know. You know what he's doing that for? To make us feel guilty. To make us live uneasy. Lie four. No one will ever know. Just because other people may never find out doesn't make sin acceptable, because we do know somebody that always knows. That's the Lord Jesus. Temptation is deceitful. Look at lie number five. I don't have a choice. Joseph could have used that excuse. There will be times in your life when temptation is more than a suggestion. It's a demand. The truth is, we always have the choice. There was a story, and this isn't temptation, this is force. I read in the Phoenix newspaper, in the Phoenix News, the story of a mother putting beer in her two-year-old's bottle. That's not a temptation. There is a force to that. But when the child grows up, there is alternative with that. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 to be sober, to be vigilant, because we have an adversary. We have an adversary. We have to look at this. I don't have a choice. Because sin is not always against our will. The temptation may seem like we don't have a choice. I told you about a fellow last 2 weeks ago that in his job was given an ultimatum. You do this or else. And the do this was unethical and illegal. What do you do? Preacher, now I'm going to tell you something. It's hard times right now to find a job. I don't know of anywhere else that I could get a job doing what I'm doing. Preacher, I've got a mortgage, and I've got a house payment, and I've got car payment, and I've got kids, and they need braces, and I need this and this and this. I can't do without my job. This man was put in a place where the boss said, you either make the books do this, or you're going to lose your job. This is just something that I had read, and he said, I will not do it because it's wrong. And the boss said, you're fired. He said he had no choice. Yes, he did too. He left his coat, but he kept his character. They took the next person from the office and filled that position. That person was willing to do what was demanded of them. 10 months later, all of it blew up. And the person that took his job and did what the employer said to do ended up in prison. There's a lie. There's a lie that you have no choice. Number two, Roman numeral two, temptation can be defeated. It can be defeated. Now, how? How is temptation defeated? Let me give you a good illustration while you're looking at the board and also taking down those two notes that are there. Temptation can be defeated, but it has to be defeated by making a pre-decision. A pre-decision. What does that mean? One of the things right now that is rather popular, and it's not a bad thing, I think all of us ought to do it to a certain degree, is this. It'd be hard to do too. Pre-need planning. Funeral homes want you to do pre-need planning. I want to say this, though. It's good for our families if we do some pre-need planning. Because at very emotional times, our families are put into a situation of making a very expensive decision. And it can be a time where someone says, well, I want to put mama away or daddy away or my son away. The best. And it makes you make some bad decisions. And you can run a funeral cost way on up. That's called pre-need planning. What you want. I know we have some folks that have planned out. I remember one lady wanted me to do her funeral service, and I went by. She said, come by, I want to talk to you about it. So I went by and sat down with her. She handed me on this yellow pad of paper. She said, here, this is what I want. Told me what songs to be sung. Told me what verses. She even gave me an outline. Now, here's the thing about temptation. It can be defeated if there is some pre-decision. Now, let me give you the spiritual example of that in Scripture. In the book of Daniel, chapter 1, it said this about Daniel. And Daniel purposed in his heart. What does that mean? He already made his decisions. The camp. You say, why do we send our kids to camp so far away? Because the wild staff and the president have put together some things that they really want our kids to do. They want them to make some decisions, pre-decisions that take the temptation away from you and defeat it. For instance, they'll take the guys in the guys session, the girls to a girls session, and they will say, we want you to take a piece of paper, and right now we want you to jot down what you want in a mate. We want you to write down what you're willing to do and not do. Then they'll show them through the Scripture. Let me tell you that something. That has saved thousands of teenagers from a life of disgrace and a life of defeat because they've taught them how to pre-need plan. Guy Roberts told our young people in the youth camp some 20 years ago, he said this, your problem is this, you do not plan not to sin. In other words, you put yourself in the place because you don't make a decision. You put yourself at a place and a moment and with people who you already know you're weak to. And then you wonder why you sin. We can defeat temptation by making a pre-decision. Number two with this or letter B. Temptation can be defeated. Joseph offered an immediate refusal. Now, we won't, for the sake of our time this morning, go back to read it. But understand this. When he refused, he wasn't mean about it. He wasn't ugly about it. He was rather tasteful about what he said. In fact, he put it over to, how can I do this thing against God? He took himself and he took, and let's say she's a beautiful woman. He took himself and this beautiful woman out of the picture and said, but I have a responsibility to God. So he didn't criticize her. He didn't belittle her. Remember what the Bible said about Daniel when he stood before leadership, heathen leadership? There was a spirit about him. I think we find that same spirit in Joseph because he offered an immediate refusal. It's important to predetermine that you will not give in to temptation, but it's also important to know your response when that temptation comes. The temptation can be defeated. Let's look at the third with this. Joseph honored God. We should not give in to temptation because when we sin against God. Our goal should be then to honor God. Now, how is that defeat going to come? It's going to come when we make those pre-decisions. Remember our memory verse? The temptations there. I'll mention something to you. How many of you here have seen the movie Fireproof? Would you raise your hand? Keep them up there for just a minute. Okay. It is a tremendous movie. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to watch it. The backing of it, the structure of it, the message of it, all of that is good. One of the things about public playing it for here, I know churches that do, I'm not criticizing them. Kirk Cameron was in this movie. The Hendricks put it out of the church in Georgia. All of their movies so far that I have seen have been very impacting, especially the new one that they have that's out, War Room, about prayer, the prayer of an elderly lady. Listen, you'll weep. You will weep, and it will change your prayer life. It'll change how you pray for people. But this one particular Fireproof, Kirk Cameron played a character of a fireman. And he's having marital issues, all of this. There's a love dare that comes to it. I'll not give it away for those that have not seen it. But he makes a decision to receive Christ as Savior. Now understand this. When you receive Christ as Savior, temptation doesn't go away. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if it did? You get saved and there's never any temptation. That didn't happen. In this book, the love dare, it was something that his parents had been through, and there were 40 days of things that you do to try to reconcile your marriage together. He had been saved, and here's the scene. He is now a saved man. He's given his heart to Christ. He's doing his best to work on this marriage that he has. He now doesn't want to see it go away. And he opens the book, and here's the truth of that day. It said this: beware of parasites that attach themselves to your marriage and they suck the life out. It goes on, and I have it written down. I'm not going to pull it out to read it all this morning. But it says, you know, and that parasite can be a multitude of things. In his case, it was pornography. Because as an unsaved man, he was involved in that. There's a lot of saved men, unfortunately, involved in that too. And he's sitting at the computer, and because of where he's been before, a little screen pops up with a picture on it of a woman and a little phrase, "Wouldn't you like to talk to me?" Now he's got to make a decision. All he has to do is click. But in reading through that day, what he's responsible for said, beware of parasites that attach themselves to your marriage and suck the life out. For him, it was pornography. For you, for me, it could be something else. And it's not always bad things. You realize our employment can be a parasite. We're not to live for our job. We're to live for Christ. Our hobbies, our recreation, our entertainment, all of those things can become a parasite which suck the life off of us, ruin our marriages, in this case that we're looking at. There's no temptation taken you such as is common to man. And there's my two favorite words in all the Scripture. But God is what? He's faithful and He makes a way to escape. Let's stand together. Choir members, if you would, make your way back over to rehearsal room. You've got we've got about 5 minutes, 6 minutes before we'll be back here this morning. John chapter 3 this morning. We're looking at the absolute greatest message. Brother Sanson, would you pray for us, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson of patience. Thank you that you are always faithful and give us a way to escape